What great tragedy might we avoid by living godly lives? Have you ever thought about that question? What great tragedy might we avoid by living godly lives? By making life choices pleasing to God, by keeping the covenant God has set before us. I will be your God if you love me with all that you are and love your neighbor, even your enemies, as yourselves. What great tragedy might we avoid by living godly lives? Now, you can think about that question as it relates to your personal life or the life of your family, or reflect upon it in light of what's going on in the world today. But this is where I want us to begin. What great tragedy might we avoid by living godly lives? This was the question behind one of the best discussions we've had at our Early Word Bible study this week. We were studying our passage from Ezekiel this morning, where God asks Ezekiel, as they're gazing on this valley of dry bones, "Mortal, can these bones live?" And Ezekiel responds, "O Lord God, you know." An exchange which captures the hope of divine possibility, the reality of human limitation, and the heartbreak of prophetic failure in all their glory. Mortal, can these bones live? Looking to the future, I ask the class, what great tragedy might we avoid by living godly lives? Crickets. In response to their silence, I offered an example from the past. Could we have avoided World War II by living godly lives? By making life choices pleasing to God, by keeping the covenant God set before us, might World War II have been avoided? That's all it took, and we were off. The thought that somehow we, as in humanity, we brought about the horror of World War II and the atrocities of the internment camps upon ourselves did not sit well. It was almost impossible even to imagine a world where, because people had lived godly lives, World War II might not occur. You see, we're much more comfortable with the thought that such a horrible event is beyond our control. What about cosmic evil? Someone asked. Even if people had been living godly lives, was not World War II inevitable because of the power of evil in our world? Aren't we helpless in the face of such cosmic evil? Isn't it idealistic to suggest that somehow our efforts might have made it possible to avoid such a tragic event? Can we truly be held accountable for evil of such magnitude? Are these horrors not inevitable in a sinful, fallen world? These are important questions. Ezekiel couldn't answer God's question. Mortal, can these bones live? Questions of life and death are not ours to answer. We are limited in our capacity to do good, no question. We are incapable of saving ourselves or our world. How can our little lives impact world events? How can we be accountable for Native American genocide, the slave trade, the subjugation of women, systemic racism, debilitating poverty, or any of the horrors of our century? Did we learn nothing from the social gospel movement? The coming of God's kingdom, the doing of God's will on earth as in heaven, will not be left to us. Friends, I understand human limitation. Remember, a couple weeks ago, I mentioned Calvin's doctrine on the depravity of humanity. And I said, I still believe in it. I understand human limitation. Apart from God, we can't save ourselves or our world. But that's just it. We can't even live apart from God. We must stake our lives on divine possibility. So I ask, what great tragedy might we avoid by living godly lives? By relying on divine possibility? Or to say it a little differently, living godly lives by the power of God, might we change our future? We can't define the future. We can't determine the future. We can't know what will have changed even if we do live godly lives. But we can trust living godly lives will change our future in life-giving ways. God has promised, yes, these bones can live. This is not a promise of prosperity. This is not to say we will never know sorrow or suffering, but yes, living godly lives, making life choices pleasing to God, keeping the covenant God has set before us to love God and neighbor with all that we are, will bring life to dry bones in our lives, in our families, in our church, and in our community. Yes, these bones can live. In a scene right out of Doctor Strange, without the interruption of the fire alarm last week at the State Theater, the hand of the Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit, brought Ezekiel to this vast valley of dry bones and placed him in the center. If we dig a little deeper with the Hebrew, we discover it may have been more of a plain than a valley. Valley gives us a poetic connection to Psalm 23. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But make no mistake, what Ezekiel is gazing upon is a battlefield. The bones are those of a nation, the nation of Judah, whose people rebelled against God. The Babylonians, led by King Nebuchadnezzar, had laid siege to Judah, finishing what the Assyrians started a century before. Jerusalem was decimated, the temple destroyed. Most of God's people had been exiled to Babylon, while a remnant remained in Jerusalem. The nation of Judah was dead. But even more, they were cursed. Ancient Near Eastern literature is filled with examples of those cursed for breaking covenants. Not only are they decimated by those whom they transgressed in the breaking of the covenant, their slain are left on the field of battle, where the carrion feed on their flesh and the sun bleaches their bones. My apologies for being so graphic on a Sunday morning, but it is important for us to know what Ezekiel is seeing. Ezekiel is looking upon the remains of a people who rebelled against their God. The Bible is clear. There is no question. The people of Judah brought this tragedy upon themselves. They had forsaken the covenant they had made with God. Even though Ezekiel had been set up as a sentinel to warn them, to keep them from transgressing the covenant, it was to no avail. They broke the covenant and experienced the consequences. This valley of dry bones born of their sin could have been avoided if only they had lived godly lives. Friends, this is hard for us. This Old Testament God of wrath stuff doesn't sit well with us. We don't like hearing there are real consequences, even punishment, for ignoring God. We prefer the God of the New Testament, the God of love. Never mind that love ends up hanging on a cross. For the world to see there are consequences for our sin, consequences for our rebellion against God, never mind that. Just give us the bunnies and the eggs and let us go on our way. Brunch is waiting. Hearing the people's cry, our bones are dried up. God brings Ezekiel to the center of this valley of death and asks the question of divine possibility. Can these bones live? Ezekiel can't answer such a question. He's bound by the limits of his humanity. But Ezekiel knows with God, all things are possible. Can these bones live? Oh, Lord God, you know. In an amazing turn of events, God commands Ezekiel to prophesy over the bones. Remember, Ezekiel's a failed prophet. He'd been set as a sentinel before the people. He was their last line of defense. He was to warn them when their transgressions threatened to destroy them. He was to keep the nation of Judah from becoming this valley of dry bones, but he failed. Yet God chooses Ezekiel to prophesy over the bones. God chooses Ezekiel to proclaim the good news. Yes, these bones can live. Ezekiel does as the Lord commands. He prophesies to the bones, and they come together bone to bone, sinews and flesh, with the great noise, a rattling, a quaking of the earth, not unlike the earthquake Matthew mentions at the resurrection of Jesus. But it doesn't end here. Ezekiel prophesies to the bones, and he prophesies to the breath of life, the breath of God, which fills the people again. To those whose bones were dried up, whose hope was lost, who were completely cut off from God because of their rebellion, Ezekiel prophesies. Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. And I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord. I will place my spirit within you. And you shall live. By the power of God, Ezekiel, this failed prophet, once again brings life to God's people. Yes, mortal, these bones can live. We have God's word. So the question is no longer, can these bones live? The question is now, will we live this new life we have been given? A young man in Texas chooses not to text and drive. A young woman, having had too much to drink, calls a friend or a cab. A husband or wife says no to temptation. Political leaders set aside political agendas for the sake of the common good. A company speaks the truth about its product's impact on the environment. Those with power and privilege level the playing field for all people, regardless of race, gender, religion, country of origin, mental health, or physical ability. How might our futures change? What great tragedies might we avoid if we live godly lives and make godly choices? God says, "These bones shall live." Will we live this new life we have been given? Beloved, that is the question each of us must answer with our lives. Thanks be to God.